This is Heather Johnson, and you're listening to the Ayurveda Life School Podcast, episode number 110, Vision and the Eyes. This podcast is for people who want to take their health physically, emotionally, and spiritually to a whole new level using Ayurvedic medicine, the ancient healing tradition from India. This is the Ayurveda Life School Podcast, and I'm your host, Heather Johnson. Hello, my friends. Welcome to the podcast today. How are you today? We hear that question so often. Do you ever really think of how you truly are doing or how you are being today? I hope that you're being beautifully inspired by the world around you. I feel like there are so many reasons for us to be grateful and for us to see into possibility and what can happen in the future and that we're not bound by the past. I love that concept and that idea. It's something I've been thinking about a lot lately, and I think it's just helping me to be a little more introspective, a little more intentional with the actions that I'm taking and the way that I spend my time, and I think that's a beautiful thing. We tend to be very flagrant with how we use our time. We always think there's going to be more, that it is a constantly renewable resource, but as we look at how life works, we really get to go through the experiences that we're having once. And we get to fully be there or we get to miss them. And we're choosing in every moment. I was talking with my class this morning after our yoga practice about the opposites of joy and despair or joy and misery, and how that when we attach to them fully, meaning we hold on to them, we don't want to let them go, we're kind of greedy with them, that we tend to want to hold on to the joy, but we want to ignore the misery. But unless we can fully release from all of them, the positive and the negative emotions, or what we're labeling as positive and negative, and just see them as energy moving through us, we can't fully be in the moment and feel the joy, because we're also pushing away the misery when we're experiencing it. So when we really move through that misery and experience it, it allows us to fully move through and experience our joy as well. And I think that is my life's work, to learn how to experience misery fully so that I can learn to experience joy fully, because I want to be more in joy. And I've noticed when things are going really good and I'm really happy, I'm kind of always waiting for what might happen next that isn't positive. Or I'm stepping away from the situation and I'm not feeling all of the emotions because maybe I'm kind of watching and thinking, oh, this is great. I wonder how long this is going to last. So I'm working on appreciating the misery and also being able to love the joy, because they're both opposite sides of our life experience. It's really important. This week, my kids are finishing school for the year. We're moving into summertime, and I love this time of year. We get to go on a little vacation and spend some time together, which is always a beautiful thing. It makes me get a little emotional because I love being with my children and having them all home, especially now that one has moved out and gone to college. So those of you who have a child or many children or all of your children who have left the nest, you understand that. It's really special when everyone comes together. So I'm really looking forward to that, and I just feel this kind of renewal right now, which is interesting because it's summertime. It's not like the normal time for renewal. But I've been thinking about vision and sight and the ability to see things more clearly. And that led me to thinking a little bit about our eyes. So I wanted to do today's episode about the eyes and vision and how we can clarify our vision both physically and on an intuitive level so that we can see the world around us more clearly. And it's tied together, right? You can't get the spiritual or the subtle without the physical. We talked about that with the subtle body. So let's jump into the eyes. From an Ayurvedic standpoint, we have all these channels in our body that move energy, that allow us to function, and the eyes carry their own channel. We call it the Drishti Vaha Shrotas. Drishti Vaha. If you've gone to yoga practice and the teacher has talked about your drishti or your gaze, it's that same word. So it's the Drishti Vaha Shrotas. It's the channel that carries sight, and it's the channel that light flows through. Without light, there is no sight. And I love that idea. Without light and inspiration, there is no subtle sight. There is no ability to have intuition and see things. And so when we look at the element of fire is very strong in the eye. It's the ability to take that light that comes in and transform it through that digestive fire, just like we do with our food. And when we have tejas, or that tejas energy in the eyes, if you remember, tejas is the subtle dosha of pitta, So it's that subtle fire on the energetic level. That's what gives that light in the eyes. You know, when you talk to someone and their eyes just light up, that's tejas. It's like inspiration. It's the ability to understand. It's comprehension. So it's a beautiful thing. It's what allows us to take what we're seeing or what we're hearing and transform it into something that we can use within our minds and our souls. Within the eye itself, we also experience tejas. Tejas is that subtle pitta dosha. It's basically the background that runs in that subtle energy. So when we think of the subtle body, it's tejas. That's the fire element in there. And it's allowing us to transform what we bring in, and it gives that brightness to our eyes. So when we look at the brightness that you might see in someone's eye, when their eyes light up or they understand something, that comprehension, that ability to make sense of what they're hearing or seeing, that's tejas. And when you have strong tejas, you're able to discriminate truth. You're able to discriminate between things. And so it's this subtle ability to understand truth and light, and it's held within the eyes. All of the five elements are within the eye in different functions. The fire is what allows us to see light. The earth is actually found in the muscles of the eye. The fire is also found in the blood of the eye. So if you have blood vessels in there, the air is the dark parts, interestingly enough. So it's in the iris. Water element is found in the light parts of the eye or the sclera, like the whites of your eye. And ether is the empty spaces. So it's within the ducts where we create tears. It's the lacrimal gland area, and it's the space around the eyes. What I love to understand too is how they relate to the tissues of the body. The sclera, or the white part of the eye, actually relates to our nervous tissue, our nervous system tissue. So when we have issues with the nervous system, we can sometimes see reactions within the sclera of the eye, which is kind of cool and interesting. When we look at the health of the eye, we know there's many things that can go wrong. The eyes are really confusing and complicated. There is so much going on in there. There are specialists who just specialize in different parts of the eye, but we know that there's things we can do to create greater eye health. And in Ayurveda, that was a big focus because we really focus on the senses, how to heal the senses, and keeping the eyes healthy is healing that sense of sight, because the sense of sight also relates on a subtle level to the brow chakra. Ajna chakra is that ability to see things on an intuitive level, and its proximity to the eye is really interesting. When they've done autopsies, they've seen similar tissue to eye tissue. So eye tissue basically within the space where the Ajna chakra is found. So right in that forehead space. So when we think of using that third eye or the intuition, it's a true thing that when we're seeing clearly through our eyes, we're actually healing our ability to have intuition. And when we work on our intuition and the Ajna chakra, we're also healing the eyes. So it's kind of fun to think that we're working on a physical level, healing subtle, work on a subtle level, we're healing in the physical space. Let's go through some of the things that you might experience within the eyes, what dosha it might be influencing that, and then we'll talk about some preventative eye care, things you can do to help your eyes long-term to avoid things like glaucoma and to help to avoid cataracts and maybe just loss of vision, those types of things. Now, if you have basic symptoms, things like cloudy vision, inflammation and redness, if you're having a lot of tearing or watering in the eyes, mucus, heaviness in your eyes where they just feel kind of heavy and itchy, burning or aching, all of these things are signs that you need to start focusing more on taking care of your eyes. We see a lot more of this because of the intense use of electronics that we use now. And many of these things can occur with aging if we're not taking care of the eyes, if we have a lot of intensity, we're not relaxing into the space, or if we're having a little bit of blocking with intuition. So there's a lot of things that can cause those, but those are all signs that you need to do something to take care of your eyes. Even if just at the end of the days your eyes feel tired or they feel itchy, it's good to focus on those. Dry eyes can be a problem as well. When we look at the different doshas, we see that Vata dosha is involved more with pain. If you're having pain within the eye, Vata is involved. Dryness, having headaches, or if your tears are cold. I know that seems silly, but if you were to actually touch the tear, does it feel cold to the touch as opposed to warm? Those are all Vata. If Pitta is involved, we know that it would be things like burning. There might be inflammation. You might have redness in the eyes. All of those advertisements for eye drops that take the red out, we actually need to be dealing with the Pitta heat, not just taking out the superficial redness. Any discharge, if you're having yellow discharge, if you're having any blood or any pus, if there's an infection, If you're experiencing an eye infection, something like pink eye, that's going to be associated with Pitta dosha because of that discharge. And the tears for Pitta conditions are going to be more warm. So you'll feel more warmth within the tears. And you'll also notice that if you put cold on the eye, it will feel better if Pitta is involved, right? We're balancing because opposites will decrease. So we're bringing in cold to balance the heat. If Kapha dosha is involved, you're going to have more swelling. Your eye is going to feel swollen. It's going to feel itchy. It'll feel more cold. And you'll have more tears, and they feel kind of greasy or sticky, almost like slimy tears. And you'll notice with Kapha, it improves with the application of warm. Putting warm things on the eye will help feel better, like a warm compress. So you can have kind of a combination of some of these go on with your eye as well. If, let's say, you were crying for a really long time, your eyes became kind of swollen and itchy, and then that can lead to causing some redness. So you can have both of those things involved at the same time. So we're just kind of looking to see which dosha is affecting it, because then we want to use all of the treatments that work with decreasing that dosha. Okay. Now, some general things we can do to help prevent eye disease or eye issues. First one's really basic: eye exercises. It's really common to think of exercising the muscles of your body, but we kind of forget about the eyes and that they actually do have muscles surrounding them. So it'd be a good idea to exercise them. Some really basic things we can do to exercise the muscles of the eye is to sit and just look in all directions. So take times drawing maybe a circular shape with the eye, pausing in each angle in order to feel that muscle contract, and then close the eyes, take a little break. Open, move the eyes in the other direction. So teenagers who love to roll their eyes at their parents are probably really good at this one, but it's something that you can practice to work on strengthening the muscles of the eyes. Another one is to shift your focus between near objects and far objects. This will help the muscles around the lens of the eye because the lens has to accommodate. When we look close, it has to change shape based upon looking distant. So if we can practice that shifting between looking close, looking far, looking close, looking far, it's really, really useful. You could do both of those eye exercises once or twice a day, and that will help to strengthen the eye, prevent future degradation, and just keep it nice and strong. So that's the first thing, eye exercises. The next thing I think is really fun, we could do a whole podcast about it, so I'm going to touch on it briefly here, but it's about using marma points or energy points on the face that correlate with eyes. Throughout the body, there are thousands of energy centers, and these are called marmas. In an Ayurvedic massage, we're working on marma points. We're helping to move energy through the body through these marma points. The face has many of them that correlate with the health of the eye. And it's really fun once you learn where they're located because you're able to actually do some treatments and work on eye health. So I'm going to tell you some of the main ones. First big one is Ajna. Now, Ajna chakra is the one we were just talking about. So it's that space between the eyebrows and up on the brow just a little bit. And this is an area where you could just hold. You could press. It connects the eyes, the brain, and the soul. It's a really good place for intuition, like we mentioned. It's a simple one. If you were in child's pose, you can just rest the forehead down and let yourself kind of gently rock side to side on that center point of the forehead. So that's Ajna chakra. It's connecting the eyes with the divinity of the soul. And it helps you to see things more clearly, to see with your third eye or your intuition instead of just the physical eye. The next one is called Stefani, and Stefani is located just between the eyebrows. So it's lower on the face than the Ajna chakra, and this location improves the connection between the eyes and the brain, their ability to interact with one another. So its ability to take in what you're seeing and make sense of it. So that's going to be the Stefana chakra. And I will list all of these in the show notes so that you're able to see those, and you can always listen to the transcript or get the transcript of that. The next two are Apanga, and Apanga and Shankna work really well together. So Apanga and Shankna chakras are just on the outside of the eyebrow. So if you were to follow the eyebrow from the center of the face out, and then just off of there, there's two points, one just a little further towards the ear than the other. And if you were to hold and press in those areas gently, it's going to release tension in the eye, and it's going to release any tension in the surrounding areas. Because a lot of the times when we squint, we're focusing, we get a lot of tension built up. So this is going to soften and release that. The next one is called the Pana Marma. Pana Marma, it relates to the nostrils, and there's a right and a left side to those. So they're just on the nose, just at the bottom base of the nose, just outside of the nostril opening. So if you were to kind of find that crease, if you smiled, that crease between the lip and the nose, you press right in that space. This helps your eyes and your brain coordinate visual information that's being sent back and forth. So it's really important, and they actually relate as well to fire energy and water energy. So when we look at using breath, alternate nostril breath, it's stimulating that area as well. And this is one you can just kind of hold and gently press on, and this will help connect the eyes and the brain more. The last two that are real specific, the first one is Urdhva and Adho Akshi. And if I'm totally messing up the Sanskrit, I hope you're patient with me on that. You can read them and that will help you. But Urdhva and Adho Akshi both give pranic energy to the eyes. We need prana that helps us to heal. It deals with our own energy and our own energy field. And those two are located just below the eye. If you were to sit and look forward in the mirror, if you just drew a line straight down from your iris and pupil, just below the eye, it's going to be right below that on the skin. And then the other one is found just above the iris and eye on the eyelid area. So those two connect with one another, and they're really, really useful as well to help to bring in that pranic energy. Okay, so that's the second thing, is using this marma energy. And it's something you can do simply. You can kind of create a little routine with it, something you could do a couple times a day. You could do it in the morning. You could do it when your eyes are feeling strained at work during the day, just gently pressing on these energy marma points. The next one is fun and simple as well. It's called palming. So those of you who are my age or older and who've seen the old Karate Kid movie where Mr. Miyagi rubs his hands together and gets a lot of heat going and makes them real warm, and then he places his hand on an area that's injured to heal it. It's kind of what we're doing here. We're going to rub the palms together, get them really, really warm, get the energy vibrating between them, and then cup the eyes. So the heel of the hand is more on the cheek, the fingers are more above the eyebrow, and you're creating this nice little cupping shape over the eye. There's no pressure being placed on the eye, and you just hold it there. You can do that right now while you're listening, actually. It's so simple. Feels so nice. Takes the senses away from the eyes. You're able to let them fully relax. It just feels really beautiful. This is a good practice to do after you do the marma points. And you could actually have a whole practice where you do your eye exercises, do your marma point therapy, and then palm the eyes. And that would be a really good little practice to do on a daily basis to help the eyes. Something that's really simple as well is nature viewing. When you are outside and you're seeing the colors and you're seeing the different variations of height and the different distances, you're looking close, you're looking far, you're seeing static things, you're seeing moving things, it helps the eyes because it gives them a variety of ways to be focused, a variety of things to focus on, a variety of colors to interpret. So I like to call it nature viewing. Going outside every day and viewing nature, allowing yourself to enjoy that, and it heals. It's very healing for the eyes, and it gets you away from electronics. So if you're working on the computer a lot, take some breaks during the day, go out and do some nature viewing, and you just tell your boss, I got a nature view for a minute. Heather told me so, and it will help your eyes to really calm. The intensity can fire down. We won't have so much heat that's created there, and overall it's that heat that is in excess that creates a lot of the issues with our eyes. We want to calm them down. Now, a practice that you can do once a week or so that's a really beautiful practice is called Anjana, and it just means eye wash. In the beginning, when I learned how to do this, I did not like it. It was stressful for me to put things in my eyes. When I was a kiddo, I wore contact lenses for a really long time, and then I had LASIK eye surgery when I was in my early 20s, and I was very cautious about opening my eyes under the water, getting things in my eyes, and so to have someone tell me that I should be opening my eyes and putting water and liquid into them as a medicine was a little stressful, to be frank. But I have practiced, and I've gotten used to it, and it's actually such a calming, soothing thing for the eyeballs. So here's how we do this. You can do it once a week. It can be in the morning or in the evening, whichever is nicer for you. The most common way we would do this eye wash is with rose water. And so you can get a really beautiful rose water. I'll put a link in the show notes to the one that I really prefer. We create a 1-to-1 rose water to water ratio. You can use distilled water. It does not have to be heated up. And we'll use a little eye cup. They come in plastic or glass. They're oval shaped and they fit just in the eye socket. And you would just fill half of that little cup with rose water and half with water. And then insert the eye cup into the eye while you're looking down. Tilt the head up, blink five or eight times right around there, and then place the head back down, take the eye cup, put it on the opposite eye, do the same thing. So you're allowing that eye to get washed with the rose water. It cleanses impurities, it improves the vision, it helps your eyes to heal if they're looking at anything for too intense of a time. If you've had an eye infection, it's a good thing to do, but don't use the same water on both eyes. You would need to actually move it to the other eye with clean water so you don't infect both sides. But your eyes might feel a little bit tight after you do it the first time. They kind of feel maybe a little bit dry and itchy, and that'll go away after just a few moments as your eyes produce more tears. But the more that you do this, the more consistent you are. Just have this be something you say, oh, on Sundays I do eye washing. And it's a great way to really improve not only the physical eyes, but also that spiritual intuition. And it just feels awesome. So if you ever struggle with eye things, this is something that is a must. There's many other ways you can do this as far as like adding trifla in. You can put chrysanthemum in, which is great for the eyes. You can put eye bright in if you had eye issues. But to be really simple, just start with rose water. It's really easy and simple to do. It is not rose oil. So it's important for you to understand we're not putting essential oils in the eye. That would be bad and harmful and ouchy. But we are using a rose water hydrosol. And so this hydrosol is a much more gentle way to do it. And so I'll give you some information in the show notes about where you can find that. The last thing that I really recommend as a treatment is therapeutic ghee application. Who would have thought you could put clarified butter in your eye? You can. It's good for you. Make sure you're getting your ghee from a good source, that it is organic, grass-fed. There's no other additives to it. Sometimes people get fancy with their ghee and they put all kinds of other things into it. We just want to do just a little bit. And this is a good practice for nighttime. If you're having constant dryness or irritation of the eyes, if you have a lot of excess pitta going on just with other areas of your body, you could do this more frequently. Otherwise, once a week would be sufficient, but it would be okay to do it more frequently as well. Just put it on the inside corner of your eye, just a little bit. Blink, 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 blink. Get it to spread through the eye and then go to bed. It's going to make your eyes a little cloudy right at the beginning. So we don't want to do too much of this, right? So we want to do it, go to sleep. Don't try to get up and walk around and do things because you won't be able to see really well. Start with just a very, very tiny amount, like a fourth of a pea size, and then build up if your eyes need a little bit more. But those are all treatments that you can do that will really help to strengthen and prevent long-term eye issues. We want to keep the eyes healthy. We want to be able to see clearly, physically, and from an intuitive standpoint. If we're doing healing on the Ajna chakra, which is a whole nother conversation, we'd be focusing our energy there, and that's also going to help the eyes. So I think it's really beautiful that we can work on healing and on being more balanced through both our bodies and through the subtle energy. As I move into summer, it's really nice to start kind of revitalizing my practices, and I hope it's something that you look forward to as well. As we start to shift into yet another new season, I think it just feels like they're just always right on top of each other. But as we start to shift into this new season, looking at it as an opportunity to start fresh again. Every breath is an opportunity to start fresh. I wanted to invite you, if you have not gotten the free Ayurveda starter kit that I offer, I think that it would be a good idea for you to order one. It comes with a tongue scraper and mala beads, and it would be a fantastic addition to your practices if you're not already using those. And we also have like a digital course that comes with it that's free. So you can get that by just going to my website, AyurvedaLifeSchool.com. And if you haven't joined the immersion, we've created it now so that you can do it at any time. You don't have to wait. You could join and start immediately. And I think that is useful because when you feel that fire and that call to do something and to change and to make new habits, it's beautiful to be able to start immediately. The universe loves speed. It loves it when we take action quickly, when we make decisions quickly. So I invite you to join the immersion. Just go to AyurvedaLifeSchool.com/AyurvedaImmersion. It is a beautiful time to be on the earth. There is so much light. There is so much knowledge. There's so much wisdom that we can learn and share with each other. And it just is fun. I think it's fun to learn and to become because that's what we're all here for. Have a beautiful week. I will talk to you soon. Namaste. Before you go, was this episode helpful for you? Well, the most helpful thing you can do in return is to leave a review in iTunes. The reviews are what keep the podcast going. And be sure to subscribe and share this episode if you loved it. You can connect with me online at AyurvedaLifeSchool.com on Instagram, and on Facebook at Ayurveda Life School. Have a beautiful day. Namaste.